There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 957, September 19th, 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say greetings and no racing regards. We are suffering, but the MotoGP race in Aragon made the weekend. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, the president of the FIA wants a big RV just like the F1 teams. Alpine may can their young driver development program due to the Piastri affair. Ferrari admit they do need some changes. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the servers. Just click on the support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you for asking. How are things on the left coast? My favorite place on Mother Earth, by the way.
Huh. Imagine that, Nasser. Yes, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else except for maybe La Côte d'Azur.
Very good. Very good. Would you consider moving to Coalinga?
I like Coalinga. It shakes, rattles, and rolls.
Yes, when the dust storm is in action. So, what's going on with your compadres at Alpine? The Piastri affair is in racing circle in the paddock is known as Piasco. So, are they going to shut down their very successful academy?
Yeah, why not? All these pitiful new kids, they're just not polite. They don't remember the vintage ways, the old ways. When you respected your elders. Now, phooey, you turn your back and they go somewhere else. So, good riddance.
Well, you know, we are living in different times. If anybody is looking for respect, they need to make an appointment with Aretha Franklin.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take F-T-C-P.
Today's world is, what have you done for me lately? Have you given me a contract for 2023? And if you say, well, we have an agreement to give you an agreement for 2023, then you will be fried on the Weber grill. And that's what happened to the Piastri program. You know what really surprised me, Mr. Rogers? As Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Michael Schumacher, and Ayrton Senna all found out, if you don't have a winning car, you are not going to be a winning driver. As we call it here, no package, no delivery. And what really is the poster child of this is when Toyota paid like $25 million to bring in Ralf Schumacher. I mean, they could have saved themselves at least $20 million and got somebody else who could have done a decent job. Not saying Ralf was not worth it or is not a good driver. I mean, he won several races, so, you know, he is very quick. But no matter how quick you are, if you don't have a quick car, you're not winning. And I just could not see that Alpine, they must have been paying a pretty penny and a pretty peso to Machismo. Why would they spend that kind of money bringing a guy knowing the best he can do is maybe fight for a top five when two or three cars have dropped out? So I just don't get that. And in the rapture of amour for Alonso, they let the golden goose slip out of the duck nest. And that's pretty pathetic. I mean, they look pretty bad. And you know what is really sad? Because I hate to see this kind of stuff at that level. You know, this war of words between Zach Brown and Otmar Szafnauer, both Amerikanskis, is continuing. And I don't know if you remember this. Do you ever watch FIA team principal press conferences that normally take place on Friday?
Often.
Okay, some years ago, when McLaren was doing a wee bit better than Alpine, there was some discussion going on over technical rules, and these guys were in their press conference, which I'm sure is available on YouTube. And this gentleman who does the press conference interviews, he asked a question to both Otmar Szafnauer and Zach Brown, and both of them had different views, opposing views. And Otmar Szafnauer made a comment saying words to the effect that Zach Brown knows more about historic racing than current regulations, referring to Zach Brown owning and driving his own historic cars. And when they asked Zach Brown for his response, he said, well, Otmar is the one who has an historic car that is not competitive. So slings and arrows are flying between these two guys still, and I don't know when it will end. But the real question is, and I've got some news for you which you're not going to like, but it's in the news, so we will have to share it a little bit later. The question I have for you, what will, you know, like they used to say, what will you do for a Klondike bar? What is he going to do for Lance Stroll's Aston Martin, or Lawrence Stroll's Aston Martin? What can he do with the package they have?
Once the check clears, he'll be doing plenty, you know. He'll be intimidating and machismo. He'll hand envelopes of cash to some of the guys in the garage. He's got all his sneaky ways. Free tickets to the Museo de Fernando in Oviedo. All sorts of motivating tools. You'd be surprised what Fernando has in his back pocket.
Yes, the payola is also coming up later in the podcast. So we're covering Nando every which way. We have so much deep respect for him. So that's good. What else is going on in the world of motor racing when there is no motor racing?
Then we could watch old YouTube videos of the 1976 season. A good one that always soothes the average F1 fan, and that's Dijon Prenois. He's off. He's back again.
He's off. He's off. And he's back again.
Oh, man. Speaking of Dijon Prenois, last week at my workplace, we had some people visiting from different countries. And there was this gentleman who was working in a Prague office. So he was introduced to me. We went for lunch. And he was introduced as, this Frenchman is working for our office in Prague. So I asked this gentleman, what part of France are you from? And he said, I'm from Dijon. So I asked him, have you ever been to Dijon Prenois? And you will not believe what he said to me. He said, no, I have never been to Dijon Prenois because I don't understand why would somebody go round and round 50 times. So I had no choice but to say to him, au revoir, nice meeting you.
Well, unfortunately, Dijon is much more famous for specific wines than they are for racing. I live for Morricone moments.
Very good, very good. The man passed away recently. Incredible composition. I love his work. But as far as, before I begin, for you, what was the real good thing or has been of the season that comes to mind? One or two things, apart from Fernando Alonso.
Well, Fernando Alonso on the front row. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. I mean, it's been great. And the Fernando contact with Lewis is always a lot of fun. But, of course, it's Max. Max the man, always to the max. Maximus Racemus. He is the story of the year. World champion probably in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yes. And I have to agree with you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, for me, Max, George Russell, and Nick DeVries. And what can we say about Max? More than 30 Grand Prix wins, second consecutive championship in the Gucci bag, almost done. 11 Grand Prix wins so far, and the kid, I think he's not even 25 years old at this stage. So this is, he's on the road to surpass anybody and everybody. And after a successful karting career, he told his papa, Jos the Boss, after testing cars in Formula Renault and Formula 3, that he felt more comfortable in F3 car than the usual normal entry-level Formula Renault. So the Dutch driver moved into Formula 3, and not just any Formula 3, because if you recall back in the days, that was Italian F3, German F3, British F3, and they're all gone now, replaced by Formula 3. So he went straight into Formula 3 with a Dutch team run by Mr. Frits van Amersfoort, and they've been in racing for a long time. And this is the same team that Jos drove for in his glory Formula 3 days. And the rest is now history, and a lot more history in the making. And like I said several podcasts ago, I will be very happy if Max can set a new track record of more than 13 wins. So two more wins, he'll have 13. So I think he's going to get... everybody is excited to see if he can do a Seb and will all the remaining races. He has what it takes to win. It's just a matter of what you have said. There could be some technical issue or kablamo, or he may run into a cucumber in Singapore. You know, you never know. Now, needless to say, top three teams, Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull, they were all interested in his signature and services when he was doing his single season of single-seater racing before coming into Formula One. Ferrari was very interested. It was pretty serious discussion between Jos and Toto and Red Bull. Now, Papa, as we know, is a Rolling Stone, so he decided to go for the big show because Red Bull, thanks to Dr. Marco, feeding them to the fire, he offered Max a seat in Formula One in Toro Rosso. And since then, he has torpedoed the careers of Gasly, Albon, and even Danny Boy. Ricciardo, to borrow a phrase from Christian Horner, ran from a fight. And he is now paying very dearly for it. Now, the Dutch Army slogan is, no stopping for stopping. The Dutch freight train may bring more championships in a row to Milton Keynes station than Schumi did at the Maranello station. In this business, anything and everything depends on the package. If he has the right package, then he is everything of Grand Prix racing for many, many seasons to come. I say, Binotto, hold your prancing horses. Toto, don't waste your silver arrows. The target is moving very, very fast. Sir, do you see him getting more championship than Schumi and LCH and more Grand Prix wins than LCH?
Oh, not necessarily. Numbers might not matter to him. He's very young, but there's a lot of talk that he might not stay in Grand Prix racing as long as some other people do, so... we'll see what happens. And the Red Bull could flop next year. You never know. And Mercedes could come back with Toto cracking the whip. Hitting those drums, keeping the beat going back at Mercedes. A lot of change could happen. And you never know. Maranello could actually hire some German people.
Yes. So basically you're saying that Lady Luck may start sleeping with Lewis Hamilton again.
You know what? Sometimes I heard that they do come back.
Yes, very good, very good. So now we're moving on to the next good part of the 2022 season, Signor George Russell. Once upon a time in the West in 2012, on the day of the first U.S. Grand Prix in Texas, we had a Wild West show in the parking lot of Rio Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. Several talented karting cowboys were in the showdown, including Russell, Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, and the man who would go on to win the race. No, it was not Russell or Max, but Daddy's, my boy Lollipop, Lance Stroll. And that was the day because Lance was chasing George Russell, who was one of the biggest names in karting. Lance kept the pressure, finally passed him, and that's when I said, okay, this kid is not just a Trustafarian, but he's a real quick Trustafarian, so good for him. Since then, George has been singing winning tunes in British Formula 4, GP3, and in his rookie Formula 2 season, he blew away the preseason favorite Lando Norris. Norris actually won the opening round of the season, but did not win again, and George grabbed 7 wins and became Toto's darling outside the F1 circle at that time. Now, nobody considered beating Latifi in 2 years at Williams as a wonderful achievement. But when Lewis came down with coronavirus in Bahrain, George was brought in to make his Grand Prix debut, and he went like a smooth Corona which comes in a bottle, and gave Bottas a taste of Corona con limón. The taste is bitter for some, not everybody enjoys that. You like Corona con limón, sir?
It's okay, Nasser. I prefer a Stella or a nice Sierra Nevada hazy IPA.
You don't go for a Rolling Rock?
Nope. Rolling Rock is for saps.
Good, good. Okay, sir, moving on. This season, George and teammate do not have a winning car. But man, what a performance George is bringing to the team. He is basically doing what was expected from a 7-time world champion. So now Toto has seen the future. The future is very tall and bright, and he does not drive car number 44. Now we come to the latest feel-good story of the moment. Nyck de Vries. He has been on the Bob Dylan program, Knock Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door, for a few years. When the door opened in a Milan hospital for Albon with appendicitis, Nyck performed a successful operation on the track. He did not crash, he did not make silly moves or silly statements, kept his focus on the job on hand, and scored a couple of points on his Grand Prix debut. Looks like he may be in Formula One next season. He has given hope to the unwashed masses of Formula 2, who are normally not even looked at by top F1 teams if they do not do a George Russell or a Lewis Hamilton or a Leclerc in Formula 2, which is the final frontier before Formula 1, and that is you have to win the championship in the rookie season. Now, what is happening here? While Otmar Szafnauer has a list of 14 drivers who want to join his team, Nyck de Vries is saying he has a list of 3 teams that are interested in his signature and services. But, you know, reports are coming pretty strongly and with authorities saying that he has already signed or is going to drive for AlphaTauri. And Nyck de Vries has confirmed, yes, he did go to Graz, which is the hometown of Dr. Marco, and it was also the hometown of Jochen Rindt. And apparently the deal has been made. So if he goes there, Pierre Gasly will go to Alpine. Now you will have 2 Francais pilotes in a French team. So that'll be good for you, Mr. Rogers. But I have to say, Yuki Tsunoda and Nyck de Vries as teammates, this is definitely a match made in heaven. What say you?
I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. You're right. They're both short. I think they could share their driver's suit. So I don't know what to tell you, Nasser. I think De Vries is going to do great wherever he goes. I mean, he's not going to go to Mercedes. He's not going to go to Red Bull. So he's not going to win anything. He'll be back there, finally get his ride. And, you know, be careful for what you wish for.
Exactly my point. And you said that he will do very well. Obviously, you know, we have never wished anybody any ill will. We just go by how they perform. I was thinking, you know, that over the last many years, or even the last few years, we've seen a lot of whippersnappers come in. Like, you know, remember when Antonio Giovinazzi came? He was very impressive. Yuki Tsunoda was very impressive in his debut. And it happens a lot. But a lot of time, they just can't keep the momentum going. And I hope that is not the case with Nyck de Vries. You know, one good thing he has, he spent 3 years in Formula 2, a year or two in Formula E. Winning that championship, both Formula E and Formula 2, must have given him a lot of confidence. So on pure pace, he may not be Max or whatever, but I think he has got in his system now what it takes to survive in the Piranha Pool, because that performance in that car was very, very impressive. So I wish him all the best, and I definitely would like to see him You know, there's talk of Nico Hülkenberg going to Haas. I think they need to give young driver an opportunity, see what they can do in the racing community. So we will see. Okay, sir, now we move to the ugly part. We go to the bad. The bad is what has been bad for you? Not ugly, but bad.
Bad? Super bad, you mean?
Yeah, you can say super bad. That's still better than ugly.
Some of Lewis Hamilton's drives have been pretty bad. I mean, that mistake with Fernando was bad. I mean, and Fernando was bad, too. They're a bunch of bad boys.
But I'm convinced you can put one of them or both of them. They will win a lot in a right car. I mean, if Fernando Alonso was driving for that Ferrari, or still driving at Ferrari, I should say, or their Red Bull, he would be winning a lot of races. There's no question in my mind. And same for LCH. Okay, sir, for me, the bad of the season has been two things. The Mercedes W13, which Toto Wolff, the W in those cars stands for Wagen, car in German. And so Toto called this thing the cave wagon, and even when said this thing belongs in a cave, not in a museum. So that has been but you know, anytime you go from the normal, think outside the box, you can look like a hero or you can look like a zero. And when I saw that, what they call zero sideport car, and I said, man, this looks impressive. It could be a game changer. And it sure is a game changer, but in a negative way. And the other bad of the season, which I think will continue, has been the wonderful Ferrari strategy. And I just read this morning that finally Binotto has said they may need to make some changes. So who knows when it will be done. Maybe they'll do it in Abu Dhabi when it's all over.
You have to read between the lines on that one, Nasser. He was talking about a completely different subject, and that was his tomato vendor for the Marinara. They didn't like the last batch. They're going to switch and change tomato vendors.
Scusi, senor. Next time, I will pay more attenzione. But we will see how it works out. I mean, you know, the real sad part is the car is really quick. And it is definitely the most beautiful car on the grid. And with that red car and that prancing horse, who does not want that car to win? And it's just, it has become an orange crush, crushed by Max and Red Bull. But what do you expect? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Ferrari will win more than one race in the remaining races?
That's a tough question, because you just said they have a fast car. They just need, I don't know, man. Luck, it could be beyond luck. I mean, sometimes even Lady Luck says, that's too stupid. So, I don't know. Everybody has their limitation.
I think they will get a win. Maybe even Max has a couple more or something. But I will be very surprised if they get more than one win. So, basically, they have, I will not say handed the trophy, but has helped. They have helped Max more than Honda to win this year's championship. Let's put it this way. So, that's the way it goes sometimes. Okay, sir, now we come to the ugly. And two ugly things, both involving Australian drivers. Ricciardo at McLaren and Piastri at Alpine. We'll chat about Ricciardo first. For Danny Boy, the heat was hot, and the Red Bull garage coming from the other side of the garage. He left for a fistful of dollars, and right now is paying the price of that. He did deliver a couple of podiums to the Yellow Submarine, and of course he won a bet with what was that guy's name? Cyril Abitbol. And we never found out if he did get a tattoo and what it was. And we don't want to know where it was, but we definitely want to know what it was. So that really did not work out. And then he came to McLaren. And as the late Murray Walker would say, it's incredible. And it was when he delivered the McLaren's first win since Jenson Button in Brazil many moons ago. Then came 2022. The honey badger lost his bite, and Zak Brown did not like the taste of honey, so he splashed whipped cream on Danny Boy's contract for 2023. Very humbling experience for a driver of Ricciardo's caliber and winning pedigree. This really goes to show, you know, you really have to take the bull by the horn the moment you get into a competitive car. And he did that with Red Bull and beat Sebastian Ferren Square 3-0. And at Red Bull, man, I don't know what was going on between the team dynamics, but at least he had a very competitive car. But it's all in the past now. Now we come to the Piasco, as they call it. The Alpine drama was played out in public, which was even more shameful. And I think all this could have been done, like Alonso going to Aston Martin or Seb departing for Red Bull for Ferrari, which was done on, you know, very low-key, below the radar, and the team was very surprised when he told them. Now, going back to Ricciardo, he was offered, I understand, a drive in IndyCar with McLaren, which Zach Brown, you know, is part of the program of the, what is it called, Aero Schmidt-Peterson team, but he was not interested in that. But Ricciardo does have car number 3, and he loves, his hero is Dale Earnhardt Sr., so maybe he can come here and race at Daytona and Talladega. He does a very good impression of people from the Deep South, so he might blend in very quickly. But, you know, we wish him well and wait for the news as to where he will go. There is a lot of chatter that he might become a reserve driver at Mercedes. Then he can hang out with Lewis in L.A. Any thoughts on these two things, sir?
No, and like you said, it's sad. I mean, you and I predicted Ricciardo may be world champion, maybe, I think, 8 years ago. I don't know. Yeah, things come and go. Not everybody can be Fernando. It's a tough world out there, Nasser. And he just lost his mojo. It happens.
Well, you know, the main challenge for Piastri now is to make sure he does not have the same fate as his compadre against Lando Norris. Mr. Webber has made his mark in moving Piastri from Alpine to McLaren, and we wish all the drivers all the best. Okay, now, you know, like they say on TV, certain items of the next show is not for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised. So now we're coming to machismo and money, so listener discretion is advised. Especially listeners in California. Okay, sir, Mark Priestley, you know, he used to work for McLaren. We once interviewed him. He has his own podcast. And I'm sure you read what he had to say, that one of Fernando's tactics, and he was there at that time in 2007, is to bring the whole team to his side of the garage. These are his words. He tries to wrestle control. And he said during the 2007 season at a race, this guy showed up, Mark Priestley, and Fernando's manager or trainer is sending out little brown envelopes stuffed with cash to everybody who was not on Lewis's car. And he said that when he opened the envelope, it was like 1500 euros or something like that, which he called very dodgy. Now, these people, who would refuse cash, you know? So McLaren advised all those who receive payola to donate money to charity. And when you work for Ron Dennis, you don't have a choice. Your comment on this, sir. Were you offended by this story from Mark Priestley?
Absolutely not. Mark doesn't understand Spanish and old customs from the old world. And that's how you do it back in the day. Fernando is a man of the earth. Closer. He's better and more fun to be around with when you're around combines and race cars. So there you go, Nasser. That's my tip. Fernando is part of the earth.
That he sure is. No wonder he throws up so much dirt. That was the late singer of the day.
Thank you, Nasser. On that program, why don't we hear from these messages?
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Fisichella, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And the thing that saved my weekend was the MotoGP race in Spain at a place called Aragon. And man, what a race. What a fantastic race. Enea Bastianini, I think his nickname is Beast. He's driving a private team, Grassini team, Ducati. And he beat the main Ducati rider, Francesco Bagnaia, both are from Italy, and Francesco goes by the name Pecco. A margin of victory, sir, was very, very thrilling race, 0.042. Fantastic. And what it has really, I don't know if you watched this thing, Marc Marquez for Repsol Honda came back and made a great start, a machismo start on the opening lap. But he got involved in two crashes. Both of them were very scary. First, he had some issue. And this French rider who is world champion, Fabio Quartararo, hit his bike and crashed. And that looked very scary. But a little bit later, I believe it was the same lap. There's a Japanese rider, Nakagami. There was some issue. Some part of Quartararo's bike was stuck in the back of Marquez's Honda. So he was trying to do something and then he collided with this Japanese rider. I think the name is Nakagami. And that unfortunately, I thought we're going to have another Marco Simoncelli situation because he was sliding on the track as the riders were coming towards him at high speed. And one of them just barely missed him. But good thing is nobody is seriously hurt. So the top three in the championship, which was looking going Fabio's way, Fabio Quartararo is still leading 211 points, but now Pecco Bagnaia is only 10 points behind on 201, and third is Alicia Spargo, 194 points. And the Ducati has won the Constructors' Championship 4 years in a row, so which is very impressive considering given the might of Honda and Yamaha. But Honda without a healthy Marc Marquez is like Red Bull without Max Verstappen, if you know what I mean. Okay, sir, next. As they say in a song from Hall & Oates, here she comes, watch out, boys. Double Formula W champion and the current champion of the series, Miss Jamie Chadwick, will be testing in Indy Lights with Michael Andretti's team. Her times will tell if she is a man-eater. And I don't know if you remember this, Mr. Rogers. We interviewed Jamie Chadwick many years ago when I had gone to a Formula 4 / MSA race with Mr. Brazier. So we've been following her career for quite a few years. But I think her best bet would be to join GT Racing or become a co-driver in endurance racing. And I say this based on her performance and not her gender. Because, you know, if she goes into Indy Lights or whatever, you know, the guys are racing, she's going to be put in the same situation as Tatiana Calderon, where it's getting impossible to get into the top 10 every qualifying session, 2-3 seconds slow. So that's not good. You cannot become a professional racing driver with performances like that. What is your machismo man opinion?
You want my machismo man opinion? I say, let's bring these people back to the racetrack because I want to see Miss Danica Patrick and Milka Duno back to the attack.
The one that they had in Watkins Glen?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. This is what we live for, Nasser.
The classic was Milka throwing a towel at her. Oh, boy. Okay, sir, moving on, we go to Ferrari Junior Robert Schwartzman. He will take part in free practice for Ferrari at Circuit of the Americas. Now, this kid, I've been following his career for many years, and at one time he was looking like a sure shot Ferrari Academy driver who will make it to Formula One. And at one time he was doing even better than Mick Schumacher, and there was a kid from New Zealand also in the Ferrari program, Marcus Armstrong. They all had the I'm going to Formula One, and I really thought so, but it has not really worked out for them. Robert is a very talented driver. He won the Formula 3 championship, and he did very well in the New Zealand series also some years ago. He is from St. Petersburg, not the one in Florida, which is 15 minutes from here, but the one in Russia. You may ask yourself, how does he get here? Well, drive under an Israeli license, and that will make it kosher. No pun intended. Next, we move to Dr. Marco. He says, no mas. Red Bull has given up on trying to get Colton Herta in Formula One next season. FIA has confirmed they will not make exception for him. I say this could be a blessing in disguise for Colton, because we all know Dr. Marco's patience lasts as long as the cat sneeze. And as soon as that is over, he gives you cat scratch fever, and the only cure for that is to leave the Red Bull Academy. I think he will do very well for his F1 aspirations if he goes to McLaren in the good hands of Mr. Zak Brown. Next, our favorite news item, the two-legged Rubinho wins again on a prancing horse. Over the weekend at Vallelonga, which is near Rome, Rubinho won a race in the Italian GT Championship, and he wants to do more. And you know, Mr. Rogers, what's even better than Rubinho winning? His co-driver was another of our all-time favorites, Fisico. Remember when Fisico had pole at Spa and the next race at Monza, he was driving for Scuderia Ferrari?
That was awesome. Oh, yes. And that was such a nice gesture. See, now those are the sweet days when we loved each other. That was awesome, awesome, awesome. And Ferrari felt the Italian love and they extended the olive branch with marinara sauce. Oh, mamma mia. That was a nice day. I love that. That was awesome. And not only that, but I just realized, Nasser, we have to update our CD collection to include Ted Nugent.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. Okay, sir. Now, what else? Yeah, there was a quote from Rubinho. Rubinho said that Vallelonga was one of the first tracks I ever drove on when I was 16 years old. So I'm really excited to be back. So that's very nice. Yeah, you know, Mr. Rogers, it's, you know, people who were racing when I started following, and you and I have been following pretty much from the same era. A lot of them got killed, have passed away. So now I'm looking forward to, we did meet, do an interview with Fisico at Daytona some years ago. That was a lot of fun. And then hopefully we can catch up with people like Rubinho, with Antonio Liuzzi. Maybe we can run into Scott Speed or Buemi somewhere. They all have good stories. Some are nice, some are bitter taste. But that's the way the world of motor racing goes. What else is going on in the life and fast times of Mr. Rogers?
It's a very busy time, sir. It's September. The leaves are changing. We're preparing. We even had rain in Northern California. So it was very exciting, Nas. We're changing with the seasons and with the racing. But we do have good stuff coming up. And we've got the big event coming up at Laguna Seca next month. The Velocity Challenge. I can't remember what it's called. But that should be exciting. It's going to bring a lot of Formula One cars to Laguna Seca.
When is this?
It's going to be October 14th, Laguna Seca, folks.
Really? Do you know, do you have an agenda as to who will be there in terms of racing people?
I will find out. The usual bunch will be there. Your favorite, Jackie Eakes, people like him, Derek Bell, Nick. Oh, and I bet you Hakkinen shows up. If we slow down just a minute, I can go to my press folder, Velocity Invitational. And of course, I'll be attending with F1 Weekly member and photographer Dan Gentile.
You know, send me a link, please. I don't know if I can make it, but if I can make it, I will. We need to get some interviews done. I'm itching for that.
So as we speak, I will forward you the form to Nasser at F1Weekly.com. There it goes. Nasser, we're professional as always.
Yes. Okay, sir. That's great. Anything else you want to talk about?
That's it, Nasser. I'm just getting older, and we better get to 1,000 soon, or I might just kick the bucket.
You know, interesting you say that. I've been thinking, you know, hopefully we'll make it to 1,000, but we cannot be doing a 2,000 from a nursing home, so we need to look for a placement, you know, have an exit strategy and hand over the reins to the next prince of podcasting, as charming as you are.
Well, I figured that you will be able to talk to Otmar Szafnauer about maybe changing the name of Alpine Academy to F1 Weekly Host and Co-host Academy.
That's a good idea. You know, we can hire Monisha Carlton-Bone, you know. So we're asking for two people to replace us. She can get us maybe five or six.
Exactly. And of course, zeros only.
Absolutely, sir.
Keep up the good work, Nass. Why don't you wrap it up?
Well, we're going to wrap it up with Musical Mondial. And as we all know, Signor Morricone wrote the music to The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. But the version that became very, very famous globally that you hear now was done by the orchestra of a gentleman called Hugo Montenegro. So here's a little Hugo Montenegro's version of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy. Bye-bye.
Good night.